How is everything going in Pennsylvania, Julie? And how is the Lord using you in ministry right now?
Well, it's this neat opportunity that kind of just dropped in my lap to be able to teach public school children who've been very deceived by evolution and just the way that public schools are teaching them. And my boss just said, hey, why don't you teach Bible? I said, oh, okay. So it's been neat to collect things and use more Pensacola's flashcards and be able to use those. And it's been great to answer their questions. I do it during the school year, so I've been with the kindergarten over the summer, but also teaching them Bible when I can. So it's been a neat ministry and been able to have a little more time to do other things now that I'm not teaching at the moment. So, yeah, I'm just praying for God's guidance.
Amen. Let's keep praying for Julie and her ministry there at the daycare, where she's able to teach the Bible to kids there. And the position where she was at the Christian school at her church, that has been filled by a husband and wife team, and the school is growing, so that's a good blessing. So she's not needed in the Christian school at this moment. So let's pray for Julie and her what God has in store for her. Let's turn our Bibles to Nehemiah 8, verse 9. Nehemiah 8, verse 9, as we are picking up where we left off about a month ago when Dr. Waite was here that one night with his family, his son, and they were here about a month ago. And this is where, when we last went back to the book of Nehemiah, and then we had a bunch of different speakers. Then we had Matthias. Then we had the music videos on 2 weeks on contemporary worship music and what that all involves. I just had a conversation with someone this morning, and they said, hey, can you be a speaker? One of the speakers, if I call you, can you be a speaker for this men's group? There's 25 or so churches that come in and get together once a month, and we encourage one another. And I said, well, that's great, and I'm excited. I'm glad for everyone that comes. But I said, there's a couple problems I have, and one of them is music. You know, the music at these functions grieves my spirit because I don't believe it's biblical. You know, bring rock music into a Christian realm and trying to worship God with that, you know, I would not be able to attend that kind of meeting. And so the gentleman said, you know, he said, actually, I've been wanting to do some discipleship, and so he's thinking about possibly having me come and speak before any music or without any music that night. So I don't know. I would like to share the points about music. I believe that's where best gifted being able to expose right and wrong and be able to help bring people into out of certain things which are carnal, etc. So maybe maybe I can do that. So if it's God's will, he'll open the door for me to go to that function. But I don't like to go places where they're going to be doing that kind of music and then I'd be speaking. That would not go together. And sadly, so many of our churches in this area, that's what they do. That's all they do is the Christian rock music. Some of it's louder than others, but it's Christian rock and with a little bit of hymns mixed in. And it's kind of like a token to the older generation. Here's your hymns. Meanwhile, give the younger generation what they want, this stuff, you know. And that's obviously not God honoring. So pray if it is God's will that I can preach hard and loud on music because our churches in our area need it desperately. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. Nehemiah 8 and verse 9, and let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time tonight to look into your word. We pray you'd speak to our hearts, help us to learn and grow from this message tonight of Nehemiah and how he and Ezra led a great revival at this time period, Lord, in Israel's history. Help us to desire that in our own lives, Lord, that we would not be stay comfortable where we're at, but that we would see our need of revival in our own lives, Lord, and that you would bring that to us so that we can impact our county, Atlantic County, for Jesus Christ, and our surrounding areas, Lord, and the world, Lord. I pray you just help us to desire what you would want for us here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah 8 and verse 9 says, "And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. That's what we need in our day and age, is we need to understand the words of God. We're Nehemiah 8, verses 9 through 12 is what we just read. How Ezra stood upon a pulpit of wood and read the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That is a synopsis, as we looked at last time, about a month ago. That is a synopsis of what church is. Church is a time for God's people to come together to read the book of the law distinctly, give the sense, and cause them to understand the reading. That now we all like, you know, the sugary messages, the one that are, you know, story or skyscraper messages, story after story after story after story. You know, you say, "Well, what's a skyscraper?" That's where they just keep telling stories that have a little bit of a biblical point. But really, honestly, can you get a healthy diet by having, you know, donuts every day, and candy, you know, the powder, the candy that's on the cone, cotton candy? Okay, if you eat cotton candy and donuts every day, are you going to live very long? No, you're not. You're going to have sugar shock and diabetes and all kinds of problems your body will have. Well, that's what happens if we just have, you know, messages with stories in them, you know. Now, an illustration here and there with a story is nice, because it helps us to, gives like a window to the passage of scripture that you're explaining. So illustrations in themselves aren't wrong, but if that's the whole message, then that becomes wrong. So God's people need to understand and the book of the law to get distinctly, to give the sense, and cause them to understand the reading. So this is what preaching is. It's the explanation and unpacking of the text. You know, so that's why we go through different books in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, throughout the year here at Northfield Baptist Church, because we need to grow in the Word. We don't need stories, or we don't need philosophy. You know, if you go to Joel Osteen's church in Houston, Texas, you'll get a lot of philosophy, okay? We don't need Christian philosophy, you know, where it's not related to the Scriptures, where it's not what God's people need. They need to read in the book of the law of God distinctly, give the sense, and cause them to understand the reading, okay? It's, Joel Osteen, his messages just try to make people feel better, you know. Well, God wants a better you. It's called the health and wealth and prosperity gospel. That's what his books are all about, having a more prosperous you, okay, without repenting of sin, without having, you know, getting right with God, repenting of sin. You don't hear that in his messages. Have you ever heard him say, "Oh, you got to repent of sin"? And he lists up a whole bunch of sins. No, you will not hear that. So it's not necessarily what the preacher says in his message, it's what he's also not saying in his message. That's what makes it wrong. Okay, you know, a philosophy of you can do it with God's help is not enough for God's people. You know, that's not a philosophy. God didn't call us together to local church to philosophy and philosophize and give some helpful little philosophies in life. No, God called us together to read the book of the law of God distinctly, give the sense, and cause them to understand the reading. That's preaching of the Word of God. Okay, so they did that. And what happened? As a result, they were so sad because they had seen, we haven't been doing this. We have been sinning against God. We have totally sinned against Him. We've come back to the land here in Israel, and we've totally failed to keep God's ordinances and His statutes, and we haven't kept the feasts. We haven't been faithful to God's word. We've been intermarrying with unsaved people. We've been going along with our neighbors, the world, and we have, as a result, been sinning. Okay, so here it says, "Mourn not, nor weep." This seems baffling, since the leaders would have been encouraged by the contrition and repentance of the people. However, this dedication of the wall occurred on the first day of the seventh month during the New Year celebration. The feast days were to be days of joy, not mourning. Rather than mourning, people were commanded to eat the fat and drink the sweet. The term fat translates a Hebrew word, mashmanim, which found in the Old Testament only here in this verse, but clearly related to the verb to make fat, to be fat. It refers to choice foods appropriate for a celebration. The sweet drink mentioned here may have been grape juice mixed with honey, a popular drink long before the time of Christ. The people were to stop grieving because their strength came from the joy of the Lord. True security was found in Jehovah alone. Okay, so that's what it was during a feast time. And so they were to celebrate and to thank the Lord for His goodness. And this is an unusual revival. Let's read verse 13 to read what happens next in the revival period. "And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of in Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner." So here we see the feast days that God put in the Bible, the Feast of Booths, the feast, and the other feast days, were feast days where they were literally reading the Word of God and being reminded of that passage of Scripture that they were celebrating, the Feast of Pentecost, to read about the 50 weeks of the harvest, and to read about the future harvest of souls that would be coming as a foreshadowing of the day of Pentecost. And in this particular case, the Feast of Booths, when they came, they were in Egypt, they could not dwell in houses. They dwelled in houses made out of branches and other things. They weren't permanent houses. Why is that? Because they were in Egypt. They wouldn't let them build these great houses in Egypt. They were treated as slaves for 400, not for 400 years, but they toward the latter end of that 400 years, that's when they made them slaves. And so we see that that this was a hard time in their period, and they would remember this time in Egypt and to thank God that He had brought them out of this. See, this is part of what God does. God wants us to think back on where we've been and how He's brought us out of sin. out of our past lifestyle. That we need to thank God every day for our salvation, that we have been saved out of whatever it is that God saved us out of. Maybe it wasn't necessarily a long list of sins, but maybe it was inner sins, inward sins of self-righteousness and trying to work our way to heaven. Whatever it is that God saved us out of that, and he brought us to himself. And so the Israelites here, they kept this celebration, and it was so wonderful that there wasn't anything like it. This echoes the same words of King Josiah. When they had great revival in the days of Josiah, he tore down all the idols, even that Solomon had built. Later on in his time there, and as king, Solomon had set up groves for his different wives. The wife in Egypt that was from Egypt, he made her a house, you know, and he made gods, you know, the Egyptian gods for her, the sun god, right outside the house, right near Jerusalem. And so King Josiah, he tore all those idols down. And then he tore down the many different idols that had been made over the years by the different kings. And as a result of his obedience to God's word, they had the greatest revival that had ever been had in Israel. That was King Josiah. Well, now, because of Nehemiah and Nehemiah and Ezra and their preaching of the word of God and Nehemiah's great biblical leadership, now they didn't have a lot of people. They only had thousands by this point. They didn't have nearly as many. This was just the remnant. And they were having great revival. Why? Because they were getting right with God. That's what we need in our day and age. We need revivals to happen all over, local revivals all over the United States that will spread all over the world. We need revivals of God's people, where missionaries have revival on the foreign field, where we have revival here. And that's what we need to pray for God to bring revival to our land. And so coming back to, I was going to say something about the joy of the Lord is your strength. That here the people, what we need to be reminded of is that as we serve the Lord, as we give ourselves to him, that's where we have more strength. The devil tries to make us look the opposite way. Oh, if you give your time to the Lord, oh, if you take another night out in the week besides Sunday night and Wednesday night to go to church and go soul winning, you're not going to have nearly enough time to get everything done, you know? Or you're going to be really tired. Whereas it's just the opposite we see here. Were the Israelites sad that they took these 8 days out of their busy life to stop everything? Were they sad, oh no, we're having 8 days of revival. Oh, all the money I'm going to be losing. Oh, all the time that I'm going to be not able to spend on the things that I have to get done every day. Were they really sad about it? No. That once they got in this, they said, wow, we need to do this all the time. You know, wow, we're excited. They got right with God, and as a result, they had then more strength to do their daily tasks after this revival happened. And that's what we need to see, is the devil tries to make us think anything we do for God and the local church, you know, that's time taken away out of our busy activities. But it's actually just the opposite. We will then have more strength if we give some of that time to the Lord. We'll have more strength to be able to do our daily tasks. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. All of a sudden, we'll have a pep in our step as we're doing our daily tasks. All of a sudden, we're, you know, oh, I just, I was at, this afternoon, I was at Burger King talking to a guy, and we had some coupons. We used some coupons and got a very inexpensive lunch because we've been extremely busy and haven't done anything like this for a long time. And so I was talking to the guy at the register, and I said, so do you know the Lord is your Savior? I pulled out a gospel tract. Do you know the Lord is your Savior yet? He said, yeah, I do. I said, oh, when was it that you trusted Christ as your Savior? He said, I trusted the Lord back when I was 8. I said, oh, okay. Where do you go to church? He told me where he went to church. And I said, have you been baptized yet since you've been saved? And I gave him the track, the next step. The next steps after salvation, attend a Bible preaching church, be baptized, read your Bible, be a witness to others. He said, no. He said, I haven't been baptized. And he's 17 now, and he got saved when he was 8. I said, well, the Lord is calling. He wants you to get baptized and to join your local church. So I was able to show him the scriptures on here. And he said, you know what? He said, I should do that. I want to do that. And so you never know how we can be a blessing to someone in the community just by using a simple tool of our mouth and a gospel tract. And so that's what we need to do. We need to take time out for the people in front of us and take time out for doing God's work. And sure enough, and you know what? The rest of the afternoon, I was going right along joyously. Why? Because I knew God had used me in a small way to help someone. And that's what we need. Every day we need to ask God to use us in some small way that we can help someone. Why? Because then the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so let us open our mouths and use them for God. Then we see here in chapter 9 that in verse 1, now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua, and Benai, and Kadmiel, and Shebaniah, and Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Shenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbaniah, Sherebiah, Hadijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah, said, stand up, and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the God, the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth from out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. Here we see what a wonderful time happened here. Not only did they start reading the Word of God for a whole 1/4 part of the day, but then they started praising God. See, what happens when we read God's Word and take it in by the preaching of the Word or by in our own devotions each day to God, that we will then want to praise God. Why? Because the Bible brings out God's praises. The Bible makes us want to praise God. So we need to do it. That's why it's so important to read the Word of God. You say, I don't feel like reading the Word of God. And I don't feel like going to church. And I don't feel like praising God. And I don't feel like praying. Well, the reason is because our heart needs to be moved and stirred. The only way I can get stirred and moved to praise God and to thank Him and to do the right thing, to go to church, and is to read the Word of God. Our heart needs the Word of God daily to wash it and to get us in the right frame of mind. I'm trying to help someone right now who's not in church and trying to get them back to church, not in our local congregation here. And you know, that those feelings are so deceiving to, you know, they say, well, I don't feel like going to church. You know, I don't know, I'm just in a slump. And, well, the reason why we get in slumps is because we're not in the Word. When we get out of the Word, we'll get in a slump. But when we get in the Word, we'll get out of the slump. Amen. See, our emotions are very deceiving. Our emotions every day tell us, oh, no, you've got too much to do to read the Bible. Oh, no, you have too much to do to obey God. Whereas the devil knows that if we get into it, we'll start feeling better. Right. You know, so it's not about our feelings, it's about faith. We need to get into the Word, and then our feelings will start following. Our feelings will start feeling better. You know, our even our health problems will lessen a bit as we look to God and His Word. Why? Because it's faith in the Lord that then can help us see over the obstacles, see over the trials that we're in to the other side, to see the cloud, the silver lining in the cloud, and to see how God's going to bring us to the other side. And so we see here that's exactly what they needed. They needed someone to read the Word of God and give them the sense so that they could see what they were doing. It says in chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, how did they respond? Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled, were fasting, and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. Here they realized they were in sin. They realized that they needed to obey the words of the law to the T in order to have joy again. You know, the Christians of today say, oh, you're too legalistic if you obey all the commands of Scripture. That's legalism. Don't you know that's legalism? Well, why don't you tell Nehemiah and Ezra and all the crew of Israel that, oh, don't you know? You guys are being legalistic. Look at that. You're separating yourselves from strangers. Oh, look, the priests, they're putting away the strange wives that they took. You're separating yourself from the world. How dare you do that? Don't you know that's just legalism? You should not do that. Now, does the Lord call us to do that today? No. But for that time period and that dispensation, did the priests, the leaders of God's people, that'd be like the pastors, did the pastors have any right at all to marry unsaved women? None at all. They were trying to lead God's people with these pagan women at their side, who, by the way, weren't going God's way. And they were trying to lead God's people into righteousness. It's not going to work. So what did God tell them? And back, if you read Ezra, you know, you say, that's difficult to understand. It is a little difficult to understand, but remember, this is Israel, back in Israel in the Old Testament, and this is God's one nation that was His light to the whole world. So if the spiritual leaders of God's one nation that's the light to the whole world were marrying foreign wives, which God told them to never do, number one, and number two, that were so worldly and so wicked that they were pulling Israel into carnality, the only thing was to do was to separate themselves from those marriages. You say, that's extreme. No, it's not extreme. God is not extreme. God is faithful. We may not fully understand this concept, but God tells us that we need to separate ourselves unto Him, and we will have His full blessing in our lives. And so next time you read through Ezra and Nehemiah, and you see these things, you say, oh, well, and we're tempted to say, oh, that's legalism. Yeah, you tell that to all the people after they did it and after that revival came into their camp again, you know. No, it's not legalism. So that's why we can't listen to the Christians of today that says, oh, you know, a lot less, you know. We're here, a lot less is considered legalism today. Oh, you actually go to church Sunday night? That's legalism, you know. Notice how legalism keeps drifting ever so, encroaching on God's commands, you know, ever so heavily, you know. What was legalism last generation? Sunday night was not legalism. Wednesday night was not legalism. What was legalism last generation? Anyone have any illustrations? What did they claim the fundamentalists or the Bible believers were doing that was legalism, say, 30, 40 years ago? Yeah, having revival campaigns. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's legal. Don't you know, people are too busy today for revival campaigns, tent meetings, all that. Oh, no. Well, what happened? By the way, let's look at those churches now today, you know, that 40, 50 years ago were saying, get rid of the revival meetings. They have not had an evangelist in those churches in 40 years. And guess what? They are as dead as a doornail. If an evangelist ever showed up in that church and preached the unadulterated word of God, like we've heard, you know, from Brother Boys last Sunday night, or had Dwight Smith in, or Gary Gilmore, and the people in the pew, guess what would happen to them? They'd have a heart attack, and they'd be like, did he just say that? Did he just preach against rock music? I can't believe it. And they'd walk right out the door. Why? Because they haven't heard that kind of preaching in so many years. But yet, that was normal back then. Did he just preach against Hollywood movies? Doesn't he know our pastor shows Hollywood movies on the TV screen now? You know, that's what a lot of churches are doing now. The pastors are using the Hollywood movies, such as the superhero shows that are such a curse to our young people today. You know, getting our young people to just think about these superheroes that aren't even real, instead of thinking about the one true God that is real, you know, and being involved in church, etc. So these superheroes that aren't even real, all the young people are just so infatuated with watching all their movies and reading the comic books and all those things. And these pastors are showing TV screen 5-minute clips at a time to illustrate a point in their message. That's how far these churches have fallen. You know, we have one right around the corner here. Used to be John's former church years ago, Trinity Baptist, then changed to Trinity Church, then changed to Shore Fellowship. Now it's Fresh Start Church. They advertise regularly on their sign movies. Yeah, I just went by. The sermon series for this month is movies. They're not even hiding the fact. Movies. It doesn't say even, you know, this is the biblical principle involved. Heart for God. You know, and we're going to use movies to illustrate Heart for God. No, they're not even hiding it. Just come to our church. We show clips of movies, you know? Okay? And so that's where contemporary Christianity is at today. And so evangelists that would preach hard, they long ago got them out of their churches. They said, you know what? We can't have you back because, you know, some of the people got offended by some of the things you were preaching. So you know what? We're not going to schedule you in 2-3 years. We're just not going to have you back this time. You know, that's what the pastor said to them last generation. And you know what? What is that producing in the churches now? It's producing a rampant carnality that don't preach on certain things or against certain sins because people will get offended. And you know what? The people got offended here. They realized they were in sin, and they got right with God. See, true revival will come if the preaching is hot and heavy and in the right spirit and in love and hard. So this is not legalism. This is actually obedience to the law of God. When we separate ourselves from the world and say, you know what? I'm gonna raise my standard for God. You know, God's been convicting me about this certain thing I'm doing, and so I'm going to raise my standard for God. Never has that produced heartache and a lack of joy in a believer's life. But that's what the world tells us. That's what the devil is constantly putting in our head. Hey, if you raise your standards, you're not going to have any more fun. And by not having any more fun, you're going to actually be, you're going to be a drudge, and you're just going to go along. Oh, the Christian life is so hard. I have such high standards. No, it's the opposite. They raised their standards here, and what happened? They raised them back to where they should have been, reading the Word of God, obeying it. They raised their standards, and as a result, the people had so much joy. Amen. The joy of the Lord was their strength. Amen. So let's not listen to the believers who kicked out the evangelists last generation. Let's not listen to the churches that are, you know, continually trying to please the people. Let's listen to God's word and say, hey, I need more separation from the world in my life. Hey, if there's things in my life that I'm seeing is a danger area and I'm getting closer and closer to sin, guess what? It's time to raise the standard. Time to hold the standard high. It's time to get it right with God and get it out of my life. And we will have the joy of the Lord in our lives. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be reminded of this great principle from your word, that when we separate ourselves unto you from the world, that we will have greater joy in our life. Because you have, as you have told us in Isaiah, that the highway of holiness is the right way, and it's the way of joy. Lord, help us to have the highway of holiness in our lives, that we would then try to help other Christians, Lord, not throw stones at them, not just talk about them behind their back, but to talk to them to their faces as well, to say, hey, listen, let's raise the standard here. Do you see how this is not right? It's not good with the Bible. It is a sad thing that's going on, and you need God's word in your life. And we need to obey the word of God. Lord, help us to help Christians around us, to have compassion on them. We know many are deceived, following their pastors. And the pastors are the ones deceiving, that they're trying to bring lukewarmness into their churches to try to just get a bigger crowd. Lord, help us not to try to get a bigger crowd, but help us try to obey your word, that we can have blessing. Lord, and I pray that as a result, that you would build this church, so you'd help us to grow more in number, so we can have a greater outreach in this area and in our community and around the world. Lord, that you'd bless our missionaries, that you'd bless the Bruners, as we know they have great separation principles there, that they are reaching out with your word and evangelizing door to door and picking up people in the trucks that they use as their buses. Lord, they're bussing the people in, and as a result, they're growing by the old-fashioned Bible methods. Lord, we pray for the Bruners, that you just bless them abundantly and bless the two church plants that they have out of the mother church there. We pray you'd also be with the Largers in Nicaragua. Lord, help them as they or have a building now. We pray you just help them to train younger Christians to do the work of the ministry so that they can start the next one, Lord. I pray you just bring in the right faithful people. And I pray you'd be with the Kellers as they are moving from Russia to Ukraine. Lord, I pray you just help them as they would get the right leaders in place for their church there in Russia to be able to take over the ministry and to keep it going, Lord. That you would just give the believers there you'd call a man to the ministry, call a man to the pastorate, Lord, that would be able to take that church and lead that church. And you'd help that, show them the next place where you want them in Ukraine, Lord, and that they might be able to preach the gospel there. And I pray you just bless us here in Northfield, that you would just give us in the surrounding community of Atlantic County, that you'd give us many souls for our labors, Lord, and that we might reach out with the good news of the gospel and help Christians who are disenfranchised from any church or Christians that have not gone to church in a while, Lord, help them to see that their need to come to a good Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. We pray that you'd bring them here, that we can disciple them here. We pray for those that we've led to you, Lord, that they would take the next steps of baptism, church membership. Lord, I pray you just add to the church daily such as should be saved. In Jesus' name, that you'd provide our finances as well, Lord. Help us to pay our bills and meet the need, the financial obligations here to keep everything going, Lord. We know that you've been faithful to us in the past, and we know you will continue to be faithful to us, Lord. And we pray you'd help us to do it your way so that we can have your financial blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn books as we close this service.